Okay, my name is Ruvain Brand. I've been here in YU for about 7 years now. I learn in the post-Micha Kolel, and I'm very excited to learn with you guys. Okay, the good news is that I'm going to invite everyone to keep eating. The bad news is I'm going to invite you also to read. So the big question that we're going to open up with tonight is Mordechai, the hero, the protagonist of the story of Esther. What's the deal with Mordechai? Now, before we start, I just want to make one comment, which is everybody in here is probably quite familiar with the story of Megillas Esther. So what I'd like us to do just for tonight is, at the start, let's forget about everything that we know. Because oftentimes, we superimpose on the text our own previous perceptions or things that we were taught in kindergarten, all that kind of stuff. So let's just look at it as it is, okay? Let's not start with any preconceived notions. So let's get right to it, to the question at hand. Mordechai, martyr or misguided? Who wants to start us off by reading source number one? Go ahead.
Acharet v'imaele gidal ha-melech ha-chashverosh et Haman ben Hamdat ha-gagi v'inas ehu v'yasem et kis'o ma'al kol ha-sarim asher yuto. V'chol avdei ha-melech asher v'shar ha-melech kor'im mishtachavim l'Haman v'ken tziva lo ha-melech Mordechai lo yichra v'lo yishtachavet.
All of the king's servants bow down to Haman as the king had ordered, but Mordechai refuses to bow down. And this causes some consternation in the palace. Go ahead. Why are you disobeying? And now Haman decides he's going to eradicate Mordechai, not just Mordechai, all the rabbis, not just the rabbis, even the entire Jewish people. So the question is, why did Mordechai not bow down to Haman? Why didn't he bow down? Let's compound the question. Let's assume that there were probably other Jews who were hanging around the palace, and everybody else was bowing down. But Mordechai wouldn't bow down. Why not? What was his problem? Any takers? Why wouldn't he bow down?
You say the whole thing, because he was tzaddik, he was able to see that he was really bowing down to even though it might have been mutter. It's saying, like, when you bow down to Hitler, even though it might be mutter, it's like he could see what was going to happen, so he just couldn't bring himself to do it.
Okay, so I guess I'll put it to you this way. If it's dangerous, how could he not bow down? So we'll get to that in a second. We'll get to your point in a second, but it's well taken. Any other suggestions? Why didn't he bow down? Yeah?
That's what I learned when I was in first grade.
This is important, by the way. It's good you gave that as an introduction, yeah? Okay, there is a medrash like that.
One served Mordechai.
That's correct. They served together in the army.
Your name's written on my shoe. Why am I going to bow?
Exactly. So again, the question begs itself. If this is a situation of danger, the king tells you to bow. So I don't care how many people are written on your shoe. The king says bow, you bow.
Isn't the Tosfos say that medrash isn't really true?
The Gemara sounds like, actually, that it is true. I mean, there's a question whether that's taken literally or not. So somebody want to take a look. Let's look together in source number two. Ma ra'a Mordechai de ikni b'haman, says the Gemara Megillah Daf Yutes Amud Aleph, source number two. Al kacha deshavi nafshe avorizara, because Mordechai saw that Haman deified himself. Haman said, I am a god. And therefore what? Any help? Oh! Avorizara, and therefore what? You gotta die for it. What are the big three you gotta die for? There you go, the top three. Murder, idol worship, and adultery. You gotta die for them. So that's the answer, right? Mordechai didn't bow down because Haman deified himself. But what about everybody else? And I'll ask you even further. Take a look at the source number three. Itmar, says the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Samach Aleph Amud Beis, Ha'oved avodas kochavim me'ava u'me'yira. If someone worships an idol, me'ava out of love, or me'yira out of fear. What does that mean? Look at Rashi, source number four. Me'avas adam u'me'yiras adam. V'lo chashava b'libo be'elohus. You worship the idol not because you believe it's a real deity, but because of you're afraid or you love someone. For example, your psychology teacher. That could be may out of ahava or may out of yira. Your psychology teacher says you're going to flunk the course unless you bow down to the idol of Sigmund Freud that's in the corner of the building. So that's out of ahava. It depends how your relationship is. Either ahava, you're just so in love with your teacher. He's an incredible teacher. He's more derech. You just can't say no. Or out of yira. You know he's going to flunk you. So you bow to the idol. The Gemara says, Abai Omar Chayov. Abai says that you're in violation of Avodah Zarah. Rava Omar Potter. And you can see the Hamshach of the Gemara why you're Potter. But Rava says that you're not in violation. Yeah.
Does it matter if other people think that that thing or that person's deity or whether he thinks he himself is a deity?
Yes, it does matter. It does matter in terms of whether he's viewed as a deity or just everybody knows he's not and we just do it because the teacher's going to give us points. You know, everybody knows that the statue of Freud in the corner of the room is not a deity.
No, but at the end of the day, the teacher thinks that it's a deity.
Okay, that may play a role. But if the reason that people are bowing to it is because they're just afraid, and everybody accepts it. We're going to get to that in 1 second. Tosfos, I guess, this might be what you're driving at. Tosfos in source number 5 on that Gemara says, the first Havamina is, maybe this Gemara is only Bidiyeved, but second opinion is that it's actually Lechatchila. And Tosfos draws the distinction between things that everybody knows is just a fraud, and we're just bowing down, and that's what we're talking about here. The continuation of the Gemara mentions Haman as an example. Haman was someone, says Tosfos, who nobody took seriously as an idol, but the king said it, so we all treat him like an idol. We all bow down. So ask Tosfos the Kashan, source number 5, Yim Tomar. Anybody want to read the Tosfos? Okay, please. We got to take it right here. Question mark. According to Rava, that you're not in violation of idol worship, that you mentioned before that you have to give up your life. If you don't have to give up your life, why didn't he bow down? Oh, the first answer is like it says in the Midrash. There were idols on his chest. So this would go back to what Rabbi was saying was that not only was he considering himself an idol, he actually had sewn idols onto his garments, and those were actual idols, not this fake stuff. So even Rava would agree that you can't bow to the real idols. That's teretz number 1. Let's see teretz number 2. And someone around here, I think maybe you were getting this before. Go ahead. Teretz number 2 of Tosfos. Papos Ulyanis, don't worry about the names. There's funky names over there from the Yerushalmi. Second Teretz in Tosfos is, it was because of Kiddush Hashem. The reason why Mordechai did not bow down to Haman was because he was making a Kiddush Hashem. He was volunteering to take his own life for the purpose of Kiddush Hashem. He didn't have to, but he wanted to. Does that sit well with you guys?
You shouldn't do it.
Oh! How could he have the right to do it? You shouldn't do it. I'm sorry, get your name again?
Uriah.
Uriah? You're right. So, okay, I'll give you an answer, Uriah. You know in source number 6, there's a Tosfos in Avodah Zarah who says that if you want to, you are permitted. For example, a guy comes to you and says, eat this McDonald's cheeseburger or I will kill you. So Tosfos says in source number 6 in Avodah Zarah that if you want to, you can voluntarily give up your life. But you're asking from the famous Shita of the Rambam. The Rambam in source number 7, somebody want to read the Rambam here in Hilchos Yisodiyah, turn the 7th parak, in the 5th parak, excuse me. Someone not have a sheet. Let's get the sheets out here. Someone want to read the Rambam? Go ahead. Yaakov. What does it mean?
Anybody that he's supposed to be over him but not be killed, and he decides to be killed instead. So he chayv benafsho.
He's chayv misa. It's like he committed suicide. So So Yuri, you hear this kasha? The Rambam is saying what you're saying plus 10. He's saying that the person who voluntarily gives up his life is committing suicide. So now I understand if Mordechai wants to hold like Tosfos. Even though Mordechai did live, let's say, 1500 years before Tosfos came along, maybe he wants to hold like that. But how can Mordechai not hold like the Rambam? No? The Rambam! How does the Rambam explain this? What?
How does the Rambam not hold like Tosfos?
The Rambam and Tosfos were about the same time. Tosfos was a span of about 150 years. Tosfos lived in the northeast of France, okay, in a place, area called Sarfaz. Anybody here been to Paris? Yeah, people have been to Paris. If you take a train ride about an hour northeast of Paris, you get to these areas called Rouen and Dampierre and Troyes. These are areas where Balia Tosfos lived. They began in about the year 1150, carried until the 1300. The Rambam lived in the 1100s, so they overlapped at the same time. So Mordechai was not French, nor was he Spanish. He was Persian. So how could he not hold like the Rambam? What about the Rambam? The Rambam says that a person who is not obligated to give up his life is not allowed to give up his life. So here's a good answer. At least it's one avenue for an answer. The Kesef Mishnah here, the Pirush on the Rambam, quotes from a Nebuke Yosef. You'll find this in Nebuke Yosef in the back of the Rambam, in the back of the Gemara in Sanhedrin, the 8th Perek. First he summarizes, where he says, so the Rabbeinu the Rambam holds him in source number 8. Shekisha omru b'gemara yavor ve'al yehoreg pirush sorech lavor kidei shelo yehoreg. He must violate the Avera and not give up his life. Avol shleimim v'chein rabbi, many people, many Jews sovereign, dim nerag v'lo avar tzedaka techashiv lo. It's permitted and it's a righteous act. V'nire. Here's a key line in the Kesef Mishnah quoting from the Nemuke Yosef. It says Nemuke Yosef, even according to the opinion of the Rambam, here's the key line. Im hu adam gadol v'chosid yirei shamayim. If he is a gadol and he has fear of heaven, he's a yirei shamayim. He's the gadol ador v'roe. Shehador parutz bekach. He sees that the generation is parutz. How do we translate parutz?
Breached.
They're breached. They're wantonly violating averus back and forth. He is permitted, even according to the Rambam, to give up his life. Rashai lekadesh es Hashem v'limsor atzmo. He is permitted to give up his life. Afilu al mitzvah kala, even on something very small, insignificant.
Just curious, could
Bishop Hidur
Parutz, that his glory?
Possible, not so likely. I think it sounds more like the generation. He's trying to teach them a lesson. And that's what he's going to say further. Kedei shiyiru ha'am v'lomdu l'yiru es Hashem, people should learn the lesson to fear God ula ohavo b'chalibam. So good. According to the Rambam, the reason why Mordechai didn't bow down was because he was the Gadol Hador. The Gemara says he served on the Sanhedrin. He saw the door was parts. And I ask him, where was the door parts? What was so bad?
And they're going to the Mishnah.
Oh, they're going to the Mishnah. So let's look at source number 9. Rabbi, you want to read source number 9? Tell us about it. It's right at the top of the next column. It's the first page. Same page. Top of the column. Shalu Tamidav says Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai.
Shalu Tamidav at Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Mipnei ma nitchayvu son'eim shel Yisrael shebelato ador kila.
Why is it that the Jewish people, we call it euphemistically the enemies of the Jews, but it means the Jews, why were they responsible for this? Why were they chayav misa? Why did they need to be destroyed? Rachman al-Etzlan.
Amar lahem.
Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai said to them,
Amru atem.
Imru atem. You tell me.
Oh,
because they enjoyed Nehenu, they enjoyed the Suda of that Russia. Who is he talking about?
Achashverosh,
good. Okay.
Im kein shebishushan yahargu, shebechol haolam kulo al yahargu.
Only the people in Shushan, only the Jews in Shushan ate from the party. So why is everybody else being killed?
Amru lo.
They said to him, Emorata? You tell us.
Amar lahem, mitnei shehishtachavu litzilam.
Litzilam. They bow down to the idol. So there are 2 days in the Mefarshim, whether it was the idol of Haman, the idol of Nebuchadnezzar. And then the Gemara says, yeah, it wasn't really the real Avodah Zarah. So there are two opinions in the Medrash. Either that they bowed down to the idol, which the Gemara says wasn't the real deal, they were just faking it. Or the first one, they ate from the party. So until 2 weeks ago when I sat down to prepare this, I never understood. So it sounds like the party answer is junked, because it says that only the people in Shushan should have been killed. And then I saw Rabbi Kiva Eger on this page of Gemara, sends you to a Shira Shir Rabbah, this is unbelievable, who answers the Kasha, who says, why was the entire world responsible for the people in Shushan eating? If you skip in the Shira Shir Rabbah, 3 lines down, Va'alo lo achlu suda ela anche Shushan abira bilvad. Hadaud ichsiv, lo samim ha'ile. Only the people of Shushan ate it. Omar lahem, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai answered, Va'alo kol Yisrael arevin, ilein be'ilein. All Jewish people are responsible for each other. Kol Yisrael arevin, we're co-responsible. So now you're telling me, Chever, you're telling me that the reason why the Jewish people were killed out, were supposed to be killed out, and the reason why Mordechai was willing to be Moser Nevish, because they ate at the party. And all Jews are responsible for each other. So if the Jews of Shushan ate at the party, everybody's responsible for eating at the party. So I ask you, what's the big deal about eating at the party? Let's look at the party. Turning over the page, source number 11. Anybody want to read the source? What's the big deal about the party? Let's read what happened at this party. Somebody want to read it? Source number 11. Oh, good gosh. I'm sorry. I didn't get your name. Gabe, what's your last name? Gabe K.
Yeah.
Maybe there was non-kosher food. So let's see. Let's look at the text. Somebody want to read source number 11? Gabe is asking a tremendous kasha. Maybe they ate treif. Treif food. Somebody want to read it? Go ahead. A party that lasted 180 days. Wow. Morai Vrabosai, that's a party. But he wasn't finished. We're going to get the next party. Here we go. Take it up about 15,000 decibels here. This is exciting. There we go. So we've got this fancy party going on specifically for the people in Shushan Abira. It's a bash migolav al katan for 7 days, and now they're serving the finest quality. We'll see. What are they serving? They're serving in gold and silver cups. V'kelim mikelim shonim. We'll get back to what that means in a minute. Right now it means distinguished. V'yein malchus. To give la'asos to do kiritzon ish v'ish. So Rav K asked Lasos Kiritzon Ish V'ish, what does this mean? Omar Rava, source number 12 in the Gemara, Megillah Yav Yud Beis Amud Aleph. Lasos Kiritzon Mordechai V'Haman. And what does that mean? So says the Marshan, source number 13, Lamevad Kira'us Gavra De Beis Yisrael, to do as the will of the Jewish people, U'Kira'us Gavra De Kolum V'Lashon, and the will of the Gentile nations. U'mi Dechsiv, Ish v'ish b'loshon yeser amru ki tola hakos of klal Yisrael b'Mordechai. We grouped all the Jews as Mordechai. Vaino kiritzono shelo lahaachilan ulahashtosan davar isur. Says the Marashon, the third line on that Gemara, everything was kosher. Mahadrin, mina mahadrin. What was wrong with the party? There was glat kosher food. There was Mahadran wine, Mavushal. So that's what the Maharsho is explaining. Since he invited the Jews and he wanted everybody to be comfortable, he had everyone bring their own menu, what you wanted to eat. So he even provided for the Jews their own kosher food and their own kosher wine.
And their own utensils.
Their own utensils and their own servers, Mavushal wine for the wine. Yes?
would say it's a problem of assimilation. They think they can do the, what Mordechai wants and what Haman wants. They don't realize that doesn't go together.
Assimilation. Yeah, someone else?
I also heard that it was to celebrate the fact that the downfall of the Jewish people because the Beit HaMikdash wasn't being rebuilt.
Morai for Rabosai. Sorry, I forget your first name.
Eitan.
Reb Eitan and Reb Ravi, they're going in a kivun. Herzi, this is really tremendous. I think what you guys are saying is actually the secret drama of Megillas Esther. It is the backdrop of the Megillah. It is the key to understanding Mordechai, and it's going to open up an entire new world. And let's see the sources inside. What was the cause of this party? Source number 14, the Gemara Megillah, Daf Yud Aleph Amud Beis. Anybody want to read it?
Sure.
Go ahead. Bayamim ha'em.
Keshabas ha'melech v'chsiv v'sreim b'shanas shalosh l'malkom v'marabah ma'ay keshabas acher.
Why does it say in the third year of his reign, Kisheves HaMelech, as the king was sitting? So Rava explains.
Kisheves Acher Shetisheva Da'ato Amar
Balak. Oh! La'achar Shinis Yashvat after. He was calmed. His mind was settled. Why was his mind settled? Go ahead.
Amar Belshazzar Chashaveta Anachashivna Velotaina.
The king Belshazzar, who made a party, he made a calculation and he erred. I will calculate and I will not err. Skipping a few lines of the Gemara right there. Omar. I will calculate and I will see that it's 70 years since the destruction of the temple. Hashem said they're going to be redeemed. And look! No redemption. Vadai su lo mifriki. From now, they will certainly not be redeemed. The Jews will not return to build the Beis HaMikdash. The prophecy was a lie. The Beis HaMikdash is dead. What did he do? Go ahead. He took out the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash and he used them in the party. Says the Medrash, V'kelim, mikelim shonim. What were these kelim shonim? The kelim of the Beis HaMikdash. Everything else looked like earth, like dirt, before these magnificent kelim. This is a party for the end of the Jewish future. Literally the Jewish future. The Beis HaMikdash, returning to Eretz Yisrael. Source number 15, Amar Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina, Melamed Shelovash Bigdei Kehuna. Achashverosh wore the Beganim of the Kohen Gadol. Kesiv HaCha Yekar Teferes Gedulaso. It says here, the words Yekar Teferes Gedulaso Uksiv Hasam Lechavod Ulesifares. The Big Day Kun, it's called Kavod and Sifares. Achashverosh wore the Big Day Kuhuna. This is a party for the end of the Beis HaMikdash. Says Mordechai, not only did they eat at the meal, if we look at the Gemara literally, Shenehenu Misudaso Shal Oso Rasha. They enjoyed it. They lived it up. It's not about the food. It's about the statement. They're living up the end of the Kalal Yisrael. The return, the destiny of the Jewish people is over. Mordechai says, for this, we cannot be mevater. We cannot give up. If you take a look at source number 16, something jumps out at you. Anybody want to read source number 16 for us?
Well, maybe they went to a party for the fears of life. Because, I mean, if the king invites you to this party, you don't want to say, oh, sorry, I can't come.
I think that's a good question. Anybody have a suggestion? Yeah.
They enjoyed it.
They enjoyed it. It doesn't say that they went. It says Nehenu, they enjoyed it. They were identifying with it.
Hey, well, once they're there, you know, you gotta...
Ah, slippery slope there. Yes. Somebody else had a comment? You were gonna say the same thing. They were living it up. They loved it. Somebody wanna read source number 60? Yeah.
Why
was Mordechai not died? Was Levin,
for his life
at risk? So how does it work? How does it work? We say that the sin that they did was Suda, right? So they were
killed for not bowing down to Haman. There's no connection. Why would
they
just learn from that?
Anybody have a thought?
He's
asking a very good question, which is there a disconnect here?
between eating at the party and bowing to Haman. Yeah.
And just such a dramatic gesture would like influence people, and then they would shock them into realizing that they need change in general, that they're generally within the direction.
So what he's saying is that he was making a statement. Even yours making the assumption that you're right, it's disconnected. Yet he still viewed this as an opportunity to make a statement to the people and say, "This is not acceptable, and I'm going to stand up even for something kal." One could add another option, which is there actually may have been a common theme, if we understand that this was about the end of the Beis Hamikdash and being settled, thinking that this is the end of the stop, and the Jews are going to stay here forever. This was perhaps symbolized by the sovereignty of Haman, the descendant of Amalek, the archenemy of the Jews, and everybody's basically saying we're willing to be subservient to Haman forever, and Mordechai is saying no, we have our own destiny. There's the difference between fate and destiny. So what we have is basically the Jews saying we want to stay here forever, we're willing to give up on the Beis HaMikdash, and Mordechai says no. Look at this source number 16. Somebody want to read it for me? It's free. Rob, go ahead.
Ishiu diayem b'shoshana birau, shmo Mordechai ben Yair ben Shim'i ben Kish ishimini, asher haglam Yerushalayim im hagola, asher haglata im Yechonia melech Yehuda, asher hagla Nebuchadnezzar melech Bavel.
Guys, let me ask you a question. This didn't strike me until this year.
How many times the word galut is mentioned in the pasuk?
Oh, I didn't even think about that. How many times does it say galus in the question? I didn't even think about that until you said it. That's a good point.
Four
times.
For what?
Very good. Very good. I was thinking a different question. If you were to give one biographical fact about Mordechai, what would you give? He was on the Sanhedrin. He was the Mishnah Lamelech. He was an important guy. No, nothing. The one thing we are told is that he was a gullus man. We are also told, by the way, his descendant, his ancestry is from his Binyamin. So the Medrash, the Gemara says in Yuma, something very fascinating about Binyamin. First, about the gullus point. Mordechai's identity was that he was always in gullus. He was the only guy, we're emphasizing, he's the only guy who remembered the fact that they had been exiled. Everybody else is forgetting about the exile. We're emphasizing this point. And like you said, Rabbi, I didn't even think of it until now. Good point. We're saying it repeatedly, hammering it home for emphasis. Yeah?
So the Gemara says that every time it says goes, he tried to go back and got thrown out again.
He tried to go back to Israel.
He went back.
Beautiful.
And he got thrown out by the next and went back and got put in.
Very good. According to the Gemara in Yuma, the Shevet Binyamin had a special chelik in the Beis HaMikdash because it says in the Brachos, Chofif Olav Kol Hayom. He was like scratching his head. Binyamin HaTzadik wanted the Beis HaMikdash to be in his chelik. He is the man of the Mikdash. Hence, part of the Beis HaMikdash is in the chelik of Binyamin. Mordechai says to the people, guys, don't forget about the Beis HaMikdash. Don't forget about Jewish destiny. This is what I'm all about. And guess what? The people, they buy in. With three easy words. Lahashmid, Laharog, Ulaabed. Destruction. The Jews thought that they were safe, and this was their destiny, and they're going to stay in Golis forever with Achashverosh and with Haman. They said, like the Meshech Chachma says, this is a crazy statement. The Meshech Chachma, the Or Sameach, living, writing in the 1910s, 1920s, in the Meshech Chachma B'chukosai, he says that people say, Berlin ze Yerushalayim. And we know what happened. Lahashmid, Laharog, Ulaabed, Rachman Litzlan. The people said, this is it. Shushan is Yerushalayim. And Mordechai showed them, these are not your friends. These are not your people. This is not your destiny. This is fate. This is destruction. All of a sudden, the people who they thought they would live with forever turned on them. And now, not only did people have on their calendars President's Day and St. Patrick's Day and Columbus Day, Kill the Jews Day! And now everybody's on board. Everybody gets together. Lech kinosis kol ha'yudim. Let's get together. Let's reinvest ourselves. And the theme of the Beis HaMikdash continues to play a role in the backdrop. Source number 17. The drama unfolds. Esther shows up at the palace and says, I need something. Ahasuerus says, what do you need? Somebody want to read it? Source number 17. Someone hasn't spoken up yet. Go ahead. Ahasuerus says to Esther, there's one thing you can't have, and that's the Binyan Beis HaMikdash. Because that's what we know that everybody is fighting over. I made a party, says Ahasuerus, that there should not be a building of the Beis HaMikdash. And now the Jews are getting together. They're feeling that spirit of return to Israel. The answer is no. Says the Megillah Starim, which is Rabbi Yaakov of Lisa. Some of you are familiar with the Sefer Nesivos, the Nesivos HaMishpat. The Nesivos lived in a city called Lisa, Rabbi Jacob of Lisa, turn of the 19th century. He has a commentary on Megillah Esther, and he has a fascinating comment. Later in the Megillah, when the Jews have the chance to fight back, it says, Nikalu va'amor al nafsham, they gathered together to stand up for their lives. Lishloach yad bimvakshei ra'asam, to outstretch their hands to the people who are going to kill them. Why does it just say, he asks, Nikalu va'amor al nafsham, vayaku, and they hit, and they killed. So he says, Bimvakshi Ra'asam is telling us something. Second line in the Megillah Starim, Venira da Kavana hu Bimvakshi Ra'asam, Haim Ha'amalekim. We're referring to the Amalekites. Why? Kitzorim Haim Li Yisrael Tamid. Because they're the ones who are constantly bothering the Jewish people. But that's not it. Vegam says the Nesivos, this is unbelievable. Kevon Shehoyu Asidim Livnos Habayis. Because the Jews were going to build the Beis HaMikdash, Mitzuvim Haim Limchos Zera Amalek, Kmo B'Bayis Rishon. The reason why they were killing out Amalek, says the Nesivos, was because they now knew their destiny was to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. And before you build out build the Beis HaMikdash, the mitzvah, it says in the Torah, the Gemara and Sanhedrin, you have to knock out the children of Amalek. So the theme continues. And finally, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends the salvation because of the Jewish commitment. And it comes full circle. Because who ultimately gives permission to build the Beis HaMikdash? Daryavesh. Darius, whose mother was Esther. Father was Ahasuerus, mother was Esther. And who goes back to build the Beis HaMikdash? Source number 19. Ve'ele b'nei ha'medina ha'olam yishvi ha'gola asher ha'gola nebuchadnezzar melech bovel ha'bovel. These are the people who had exiled and returned. Vayashovu Yerushalayim. Who was it? Somebody want to read it? Someone hasn't spoken up yet. Go ahead. Source number 19, second column, second verse. You got it. Mordechai Bilshan, says the Gemara Menachos Daf Samachay, Mordechai Bilshan was Mordechai. And he called Bilshan because he knew many Balal Lashonos, many languages. That's how the Gemara says he knew to interpret what Big Son and Seresh were plotting because he knew their language. So Mordechai was the one who came back with Ezra to build the Beis HaMikdash. Yes?
Doesn't end of the Megillah say he stayed?
He stayed for a little while. Doesn't say he stayed there forever. He stayed there during that kingdom. According to the Pasuk in Ezra, he came back. Not only that, there's actually an alternate opinion that he wasn't Mordechai Bilshan. Source number 20, Amar Rav Nachman Malachi, one of the three prophets who built the second Beis HaMikdash, Zem Mordechai. V'lama nikmo shemo Malachi, Shahaya Mishneh Lamelech. He was the deputy to Ahasuerus. Ultimately, he went to build the Beis HaMikdash. Morai V'rabosai.
He's saying it's not Mordechai.
He's saying Malachi was Mordechai, not Mordechai Bilshan. There's some discussion. But it was somebody, one of these people. There are disputes within Chazal who exactly was. That's what I want to show you. There are two opinions. But he definitely went back. He definitely built the Beis HaMikdash. Because that was his calling. That was the herald of Mordechai. That there is a Jewish future. There is a Beis HaMikdash. There is a Jewish destiny. We're not going to live in Golis forever. And maybe this is a possible pshat Chevra in the pshat in the Rambam in source 21. Someone want to read the beginning of Rambam source number 21. Go ahead.
כל ספרי נביאים וכתובים עתידים לבטל למעשה משיח חוץ ממגילת אסתר, הרי היא קיימת כחמישה חומשי תורה.
All of the Sifrei HaNaviim. Now, it's very unclear what the Rama means exactly by this comment. But the books of the Naviim are going to be batel, either not relevant or not functional, in the days of Mashiach. Chutz mimegilas Esther. Which is just like Hamisha Chumshei Torah, which is going to exist and be relevant forever. So the question is, why is it that the book of Esther, more than Yirmiyahu, and Yeshayahu, and Amos, and Eov, why is that going to remain in the times of Mashiach? Maybe based on what we said, it makes good sense. Because the message of Mordechai was that of Netzach Yisrael lo yishaker. There will always be a Jewish people. The eternity of Klal Yisrael. The future of the Beis HaMikdash. And this eternal message is always true. It is the message of eternity is eternal. Hence, it would make sense that the message that Klal Yisrael will always exist, exists even the Imos HaMashiach, because it's a timeless message. It's a message for Golos, and it's a message forever. It's that Netzach Yisrael lo yishaker. Hashem will always be there with us. Yes?
Isn't that the theme of a lot of Nevi'im?
That what?
That basically, there's in the future, and then Israel always.
Yes. So the I think that's the difference. The theme of many Nevi'im is, don't worry, we will rebuild the Beis HaMikdash someday. But here we're saying something perhaps even a little further, which is that it's not just that the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt one day. It's that we are always connected to Hashem. And that in this particular case, it's even in the darkest times, but there will always be a Beis HaMikdash. It's not just that it will be rebuilt one day. It's that that will always be where we're going. And there's no such thing as giving up and ever going to Golos and staying in Golos. We may live now in Golos and we may do well. We're in diaspora in many countries and we're succeeding. But where are we focused? Are we a people of fate? Just whatever's going to come our way? Or are we a people of destiny? Always looking for building the Beis HaMikdash. And that's, I think, part of the message of Mikra Megillah. That we should look at the underlying theme that Jewish existence in Golos is only a transient one. It may be long, but it's fundamentally transient. And we're people that always yearns to return to Israel. This is perhaps what Mordechai was trying to teach them. So if we go back to the first question, was Mordechai a martyr or was he misguided? The answer is, he was trying to teach the people a lesson. He was trying to remind them that Golos needs to come to an end one day, and they should always have faith, not to become, like you said before, so assimilated that we forget about the destiny, about the Beis HaMikdash, about where we're really headed one day. It's a privilege being with you. I want to wish you all a Freilich in Purim. Thank you so much for coming.